at home with the banks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. In just about half an hour, we'll get the latest home sales report for September. Economists believe sales were up by 5% or more. A monthly survey of real estate agents says the jump could even be bigger than that. House payments, of course, one of the big problems over at banks with delinquencies and foreclosures so high. But there are a lot of people, many of them poor, who don't even deal with a financial institution. At a conference today in Washington, consumer advocates and lawmakers will turn a spotlight on the so-called underbanked. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Imagine for a second that you're one of the 50 million or so Americans without a checking account or a credit card. You live paycheck to paycheck, then the car breaks down and the rent's due.
Consumers will turn to these higher cost products, including payday loans, which unfortunately can really escalate in terms of the cost.
Melissa Coide of the New America Foundation says the solution is to bring people living off the credit grid in so they can borrow on reasonable terms in an emergency and start saving to build financial security. Arjun Shute of the Center for Financial Services Innovation says with access to credit down in the recession, new models are needed.
It wants to provide powerful new capabilities and protections to consumers, but on the other hand, not to stifle innovation.
Innovation can be as simple as letting low-income consumers build a credit score by showing they pay their utilities and rent on time. And advocates say while new laws are needed to protect consumers, banks need to be encouraged to reach out to people just starting down the credit road. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Let's check numbers. Shares are up in Europe, even despite a surprising British GDP report showing the economy there shrank in the third quarter. The FTSE's up about a percent or more. In Asia, the Hang Seng was up nearly 2%. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P and NASDAQ added a percent or less. The Dow closed up 131 points at 10,081. Mobile phone maker Nokia, the world's biggest, has filed a legal challenge against Apple, alleging intellectual property abuse. A federal lawsuit claims Apple infringed on 10 Nokia patents since it entered the mobile market in 2007. Andrew Ward writes for the Financial Times. He broke the story, and he's with us live this morning from Stockholm, Sweden, to talk about it. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Morning. How are you?
Doing well. Specifically, what technology are we talking about here?
We're talking about the smartphone, and this is devices like the iPhone and the BlackBerry, which double as a phone and a mini computer. And, of course, this is the direction that the whole industry is going. The mobile phone market has declined for the first time in its history this year, with sales down about 7%. But the smartphone segment is the one bit of the industry that is growing. And, of course, Apple with the iPhone and Research in Motion with the BlackBerry are increasingly coming to dominate it.
Now, Apple's been pretty tough on others when it comes to its patents. What are they saying about these claims?
Well, Apple hasn't responded to the lawsuit, but yes, it's been aggressive in defending its own technology, specifically against Palm, threatening legal action against them. So Nokia, I guess, here is trying to say, wait a minute, we've developed a lot of the underlying wireless technology that supports advanced mobile phones. You're not paying us a license fee. You've sold 30 million iPhones since you entered the market in 2007, and we want a share of the revenues.
Well, Andrew Ward, we do appreciate you talking to us this morning. Andrew Ward from Stockholm, Sweden. Thanks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. $25 trillion of investment assets are accounted for with software from SunGard Financial Systems. More information at sunguard.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
President Obama kicked off the first stimulus-funded road project back in March, a repaving job in suburban Washington, D.C. It's been almost 8 months, and the project's almost done, and Marketplace has been keeping tabs. Reporter Elizabeth Threlkeld this morning says, well, this one's wrapping up, many others are not.
New Hampshire Avenue is getting a paint job. Workers are laying down three-foot-long strips of white paint at a crosswalk. It's the last step in the repaving project.
Sections, basically, they just put it down, and then with a propane torch, they melt all the edges together, and it forms just one uniform bar all the way across.
That's project manager Scott Dauphiné. He He says he's relieved the job is wrapping up.
I mean, there was a lot of eyes on us since this was the first job in the country for the stimulus plan.
This is one of only a few stimulus transportation projects that's actually finished. Most are just getting started.
It takes a while to spend $1 trillion.
Eric Gillespie is chief information officer for Onvia, a research firm that tracks stimulus spending at recovery.org. He says a lot of stimulus money has been committed to states, but not all the funds have made their way to actual projects yet.
I think the timeline was aggressive from the beginning, and the view was pretty optimistic. The projects today that are underway, I would say, are fewer than anyone expected.
The federal government has promised to fund over $35 billion in stimulus road projects. Gillespie says they've only cut checks to contractors for close to $14 billion so far. Another reason for the slow start is logistics. Victor Mendez is head of the Federal Highway Administration.
We're kind of venturing now into the next phase of the more complex, larger projects that have taken a little bit longer to get them ready actually to contract out.
Once more stimulus money starts flowing, planners are hoping all the projects end up like that first one in Maryland, on time and under budget. In Washington, I'm Elizabeth Threlkeld for Marketplace.
And finally, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed an environmental exemption bill that, for football fans in L.A., converts fourth down to first and 10. See, Los Angeles has been without a professional football team since 1995 when the Rams and Raiders both skedaddled. And the bill allows a developer, the same people who brought us the Staples Center, to construct a 75,000-seat stadium complex without any legal challenge, any environmental legal challenge. The governor says it's a big economic development step, but until a team decides to make a move, it's also a moot point. The developer won't build until there's a commitment. And who's talking about long-term when the football is still on the field? Hey, check us out online at marketplace.org. You can grab a podcast while you're there. From Los Angeles, home of the Dodgers, Lakers, Clippers, Kings, and David Beckham most of the time. I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.